Morning, everybody. Welcome to our service of Holy Communion. Today is the second Sunday of Advent. As you can see, we've got Linnea. Linnea will be preaching for us this morning. But before we start our worship, let's just take a moment of quiet to prepare ourselves. Just as the sun shines on all who turn their faces to the light, just as the rain showers upon all who stand on open ground, so God's grace in Christ comes as a blessing to all. Born of the sweat of his suffering love, Christ willingly gave of himself that we might be made free. You who are willing to offer yourselves to God, come to this place in love and faith. Because here we find forgiveness, hope, and the promise of eternal life. In Jesus' name. Amen. So let's start our worship by singing. We'll sing our first hymn, which is hymn 150, Hail to the Lord's Anointed. We stand to sing.
Thank you.
name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We sit or kneel for our prayer. We say together the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments, and to live in love and peace with all. We say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Collect prayer for the second Sunday of Advent. O Lord, raise up, we pray, your power and come among us, and with great might succour us, that whereas through our sins and wickedness, we are grievously hindered in running the race that is set before us. Your bountiful grace and mercy may speedily help and deliver us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honour and glory, now and forever. Amen. So it being the second Sunday of Advent, we need to light the second of our candles. That the light of Christ may shine before we hear our readings from Scripture.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, beginning to read at verse 1. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, 'In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in a desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from the second letter of Peter, chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of the God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
If you would like to stand, we'll sing our second hymn before Linnea preaches for us. So our second hymn is 205, I Cannot Tell.
Thank you.
Gospel of our Lord according to Mark. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah. See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist. And he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the Gospel of the Lord. May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Comfort, O comfort my people. These are the first words of today's reading from Isaiah 40. And they have been in the back of my mind this week as the sermon has been rolling around in here. And today is the second Sunday of Advent. And last week, we heard Bishop Stephen saying that Advent is about Jesus' coming, not just his first coming, but also his second coming. And when we look at readings like Isaiah 40, or when we hear songs as the first hymn today, we realize that not everything has yet come to pass. Because some of God's promises, yes, they came with Jesus' first coming, but we have the second coming to look forward to. And although it's very common to focus on the gospel reading today and John's role in Jesus' first coming, I'm actually going to focus more on the second coming today. So hearing about Jesus' second coming, are you filled with comfort, comfort and joy, you know, oh tidings of comfort and joy? Or have you, between movies and books such as A Thief in the Night and Lost and Left Behind, become a little bit afraid of Jesus' second coming? Maybe some fiery preacher has also made you a little bit afraid of it. And I think this fear is quite common. But yet, there are so many Bible verses that are so positive about Jesus' second coming. It's like talking about it like a joyful occasion. Just listen to Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with harp, with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. All this joy for God's judgment. It's not how we usually think of it today, is it? So it's God's judgment is a cause to sing and shout for joy. God's judgment is God remembering his faithfulness. So we want God to come and judge. And think about this for a second. What happens if Jesus doesn't come back? Well, the world would just continue as it is, wouldn't it? There would be no end to war, no end to human destruction of the planet or of each other, no end to human suffering, no end to slavery, to human trafficking, which includes even children. There would be no end to such things as domestic abuse, or to poverty and systemic injustice. No end to the greed and the oppression that we see so much in our world today. Well, people, they can do a lot of good, and we can change things to some extent, but let us not fool ourselves. I don't think that things can be put to right without God coming to change this world. We need his intervention, and we need him to come and put an end to it. We need him to judge evil people and evil systems and free the oppressed. Now think about this. If Jesus doesn't come back, there would be no resurrection of our loved ones. And we ourselves, we would not be resurrected, but stay in our graves when our time comes. So yes, God's judgment is a happy occasion, something to long for, to pray for. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. What about, though, this image of a thief? Well, it doesn't seem to be quite as negative as it's often made out to be. The image is really saying that we don't know when Jesus is coming back, just as you don't know when the thief is coming to rob your house. It is a little bit of a surprise when it happens. And yes, sometimes this image comes with a warning, but it also just reminds us that we don't know. And this is certainly the case of today's reading from 2 Peter in chapter 3, verse 8 and forward. But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be destroyed with fire. The earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and destroyed, and the elements will melt with fire? But in accordance with his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness is at home. Here it actually seems that people are a little bit impatient for Jesus' second coming. And he's using this image of a thief to say, be patient, you don't know when this is going to happen. It is not him trying to threaten them with Jesus coming as a thief. It's to encourage patience. So very different, isn't it? And just listen to Paul's encouraging words to the Thessalonians in his first letter to them. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. And a few verses later, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. But you are not in darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief. So again, it's not a threatening image to make them scared. It's just to remind them that, and encourage them of, it's like reminding them and encouraging them about who they are. You are not in darkness. So let us step back and again think about the injustice of this world. Sometimes all of this that's happening can be a bit overwhelming. How could it ever end? And this is where Isaiah 40 comes in to remind us of God's greatness and ability to do his promises, and how small we are in comparison. Comfort, O comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low, the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and the flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. The constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely people are grass. The grass withers, the flowers fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother's sheep. Of course, the injustice and problems in the world is overwhelming because we are small, we are like grass. But God is mighty. He created the foundations of the world, and his word will stand forever. He comes with might to feed his flock like a shepherd. Isn't that beautiful? He strong and mighty comes to feed his flock and gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. So when we sing about tidings of comfort and joy, let us not just think about the first coming of Jesus. Let us also remember the second coming of Jesus, when all of this really comes to pass and to fruition. And that is because he loves us and he is mighty enough to take us in his arms. He's mighty enough to judge evil and to change this world. So Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you who set the foundations of the world and created all that is within, who freed the Israelites out of Egypt and changed the world by the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. Thank you for loving us. We thank you for your word, which stands forever. And we live in a world which has gone astray, and although your created goodness shines through, we need you. We need you to come and judge evil and free the oppressed, just as you have promised. Lord, we pray, take us out of our fear. Help us to live holy lives that bless those around us. Help us to be heralds of good news. And may this Advent be filled with comfort and joy as we take heart in the fact that you are coming back. May we long for and pray for your second coming. In the name of Jesus, amen.
We remain in an attitude of prayer as we now have our prayers of intercession.
Let us pray. O come, Emmanuel. Come and renew our faith this Advent. Awaken our hearts to the message of the prophet Isaiah, that we should make a straight path for you to re-enter our crooked world and our confused lives. Fill us with such confidence in your presence, always and everywhere, that we may live fully and gladly in your world, always facing towards grace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
During this month, we count our blessings and mourn our losses. We love the Christmas season and dread it. It comes as forecast, a huge tide of consumer spending and exhausting pleasure that recedes as does any tide. Yet we pray that the tide may leave behind in many lives signs of renewed joy and restored hope, flowing irrepressibly from Bethlehem's cave. We pray for peace around that cave in Palestine, peace in our world and peace in our restless hearts. Especially we pray for a ceasefire in Israel and Gaza and for an end to the war in Ukraine. Lord, in your mercy, Father, we pray for those in our community, for our neighbours and those with whom we work, for those whom we serve and those with whom we share fellowship, for those imprisoned in unemployment and are locked out of many things we take for granted, and those in our community who are lonely or alone, especially at this time of year, and those whom are empty and long to be filled with joy. We also pray especially for those named on our pew sheet today. Edwina and Arshak Sarkissian, Sheila Knox, Harry and their family, Oliver Hill, Amanda Ricketts, the family and friends of Marjorie Barber, the family and friends of Peter Sachs, Joe and Tim Oliver and Joyce Veacock. We take in a moment of silence those we know of personally who also need our prayers. May Christ touch broken lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, as we prepare our own hearts for your Advent. This week, give us time for reflection, space for prayer, and a hunger for more of you in our lives. So come, O come, Emmanuel. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you please stand? So before God and each other, we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. as we say together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Jesus said, I leave my peace with you. I give my peace to you. I do not give it to you as the world does. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Share with one another a sign of that peace. As we're standing, we'll sing our offertory hymn, Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne, hymn 555.
Thank you.
This morning we will use Eucharistic Prayer 2 on page 7. Eucharistic Prayer 2. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We give thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Sit on you for our prayer. Father, we give you thanks and praise through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh as your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin. He lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Saviour of the world. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. At the top of page 17, as Jesus himself taught us, we will say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven.
Blood of Christ.
The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. Top of page 18, we say together the prayer after communion. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. It's our final hymn. Hymn 251, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear.
Oh,
go out to serve, assured of God serving alongside you. Go out to bless, assured of God's blessing on you. For God so loved the world. And as we do this in the middle of our Advent journey, may our hope be longer than the journey, our faith deeper than all darkness, our love bolder than every lie. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those whom you love and those you struggle to love, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.